Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. Hey, have you ever wondered what does it take to be a cat influencer? Or, more importantly, the pet parent of a cat influencer? Well, I've wondered this, and my guest today is going to tell us all about it. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Ashley. She is the CEO of Pet Influencer Secrets. Welcome, Ashley.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on here. I am super excited to share my experiences and some knowledge with the whole audience here.
So what is your background? Do you do just cats?
I own just cats, but I coach everything from, oh my goodness, definitely lots of cats, dog influencers I've worked with, bird influencers, and one really interesting like meerkat. So a little bit of everything, but I am a little bit biased because I only have owned cats and I do have two cats myself.
Okay. What are their names? What type of cats?
Yeah. So I call one cat the famous one. He's the one who started all of this. And then my second cat is the less famous one. She does have her own channel. So the famous one, his name is Chip. And Chip is the world's most famous Manx cat. So that's M-A-N-X. A lot of people get it confused with Minx, like M-I-N-X. But yeah, so he is the world's most famous Manx cat. And then I have Biscuit. And Biscuit is not related to Chip at all. She is a calico cat. And yeah, they are extreme opposites. They have their own channels on social media. But yeah, they're so fun. And they're my children.
You know what? Before we get into talking about it, I was wondering, and I, you know, we're all about cats on Catitude, but a lot of cat lovers also have dogs. Do you think there's more cat influencers or dog influencers?
So I actually get asked a similar question to this often because I obviously only have experience with my cat influencers myself. And so obviously dog creators or people who want to explore making their dogs famous, they also ask, they're like, well, which one does better, dogs or cats? And I know we can definitely dive into this later, but it is all about how you approach it. Now, do people love dogs or cats better? I actually think that they can provide a little bit different emotional reactions when it comes to your audience. So I personally think that the cat videos bring about a different emotional reaction than a lot of dog videos. Dog videos tend to be more upbeat, more crazy. Because I just imagine like dogs that just run around the backyard chasing balls. And then cats tend to be different, in which a lot of the videos with cats, they're laying on your lap. They're like your emotional support. It's just different. And so to answer your question, I'm not exactly sure because I think the audiences are a little bit different.
I think you're right. Okay, let's talk about the rise of the cat influencer, or, you know, how everyday cat parents can turn their cats into social media stars. So you wouldn't think this, but you say that cats are naturals for social media. Why?
Yeah, so no matter what, when it comes to trying to make your cat or dog famous online, it's all about how you stage them with products or how you interact with them. And when it comes to cats, it's easy to storytell about cats because a lot of times, for example, people with dogs, they'll say, oh, I went and, you know, got this special breed of dog and I bought the dog. And there just tends to be a different story compared to cats. It's like, oh, the cat just showed up on my porch one day and now we're best friends. And they're like my emotional support cat. And the stories just tend to be different. So when people ask me, well, how do I even begin this idea of being a cat influencer? And I do want to distinguish the difference between like cat influencing and cat content creating. So being a content creator would be more of you have an Instagram or YouTube and you just share videos of or and photos of your cat. But then being an influencer is just a hair different because being an influencer is more of the idea of trying to have a business around it. Because the concept of being an influencer is you're going to utilize having lots of followers to actually make money off of having followers. But yeah, so when people want to even explore this idea of being a cat content creator or again, a cat influencer, it all starts with just realizing what is the story between you and your cat. And again, most people do have sweet or fun special stories with their cats of how they discovered their cat in a storm drain or, you know, how they found the little kitten on the side of the road, like those type of deeply emotional stories. And then just trying to figure out how to incorporate those stories because the people who watch our content as cat influencers, they come to our content usually to feel something. So the value that we provide is typically not just like mindless entertainment, as I sometimes categorize dog influencers into, but with us cat influencers, it's more about providing an emotional reaction or emotional experience. So it makes people feel good. And what's really nice is I have a lot of followers who, for my personal cats, who say that they're not able to have a cat in their apartment, or my cats remind them of a cat they used to have. And so the emotional reaction is truly the biggest thing for us.
Okay, that's really interesting. So what are some, when you talk about, you know, cat influencers, I mean, what comes to mind first is Nyla Cat. That cat has been super well known. I think what some crazy amount of followers, like what, 10 million or something?
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
Crazy amount. I actually met her pet parent at the Global Pet Expo. What are some of the ways that cat parents can turn their cats into internet celebrities?
Yeah. So that's a little bit of a loaded question because it actually is very multifaceted. But I will go through at least a little bit of what I would recommend to someone if they were just interested in learning about the concept of pet influencing and potentially interested in it. So the biggest problem that happens is most people love to just all of a sudden open up their Instagram, create a new profile, and just try to post some videos that they have on their phone or just post some photos that exist on their phone. Now, to actually become a pet influencer to the point to where your cat is making some money or that you are able to raise awareness for shelters or, you know, bring in donations for nonprofits, which I've seen it all over the past 6 to 7 years of doing this. So it all starts with being very intentional about your purpose. And I mentioned earlier about storytelling. So people really follow people. And when we want people, our audience, to eventually click on our links to, again, donate to a nonprofit or, you know, support a cause, etc., they need to understand us by relating to us and trusting us. So all that to say, when you consider the idea of being a pet influencer, you have to keep these things in mind. How are you going to utilize storytelling? And how are you going to utilize your cat for whatever mission that you know, want to go about? I personally never really recommend people to just want to make money off their cat. Because let's be honest, I mean, cats, and they don't live forever. And, you know, anything can happen to our fur babies at any time. And trying to just build your business off of that may not be the smartest long-term thing. So what I did, and I think this is, again, best for people who are interested in this concept, would be to at least first go through your phone. Because most of us obviously have phones in which we have many photos of our cats and or videos. And the first thing to do is just to look through what content you already have. So you probably already have some photos and videos of your cat, and to put them in an album. Simple as that. And the next step is probably the most important thing, and that's simply to research what it takes to actually become a pet content creator. Because any type of content creator, it does take effort and time and intentionality. And again, as I mentioned earlier, a mission, like a purpose for whatever, you know, you are utilizing this channel for. So that's a very, very beginning, but I can go into any sort of detail that you're interested in learning about.
You started off a good path. Let's go a little bit down further, like what behind the scenes, because what a lot of people may or may not be aware of is that that content that you see, it might be 2 minutes or 30 seconds or however long, but that 30 seconds might have taken, you know, 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this more in people videos, you know, the cool videos. I'm more Instagram than TikTok, but the cool videos where you see someone in change of clothes and then they swipe out and there's another thing and another outfit, another outfit, another outfit. You see that more with people than with, you know, cats and dogs. But that, what took you 30 seconds to view, took hours.
Absolutely.
I can't even fathom how intense it must be to have your cat patient enough to go through all of those different changes. So what happens behind the scenes?
Yeah, this is a great question because of that fact that people don't have any idea if you've never done it yourself. Now, I will say, with dog influencers, the ones I've worked with, we talk a lot about this concept of, you know, how to get them to look at the camera and whatever. It is a whole different story with cats because if you think of a dog, dogs obviously usually can learn tricks. They can learn to sit, look up, yada, yada. However, with cats, it's a whole different thing. My cats, they don't know tricks. They don't know how to sit still. So when it comes to behind the scenes, I do a lot of my cat, Chip. He gets to be in a lot of content for different brands. And so every week, I am filming these videos for brands. And I always estimate somewhere right around 2 to 3 hours for filming for any sort of product. And from there, the editing takes a very long time too. It really, for every video, that usually is 30 to 45 seconds, which is the usual for content nowadays. For about a 30 to 45 second video, I absolutely would estimate from complete start to finish, and especially any editing rounds if you are working with a brand, is a solid 4 to 6 hours. And it's crazy to think, but I gotta tell you, when it comes to the cats, how on earth do I get my cats to do exactly what I need them to do? I use lickable treats a lot. So they definitely know the word treat, and the treat means that they're getting those little tube lickable treats. And I have two certain areas in my house where I primarily do all of my filming. And of my two cats, I've got the famous one, of course, and then the not so famous one. And the famous one, he actually, over the years, it has taken years, but he has learned that when we go in that area, when I have my treat, he will come and sit right there and he'll just look at me. And so I'll be able to get some videos or some photos, put a product right next to him, and then take some photos and videos. And then what I do is I have my phone on a tripod, and then I will intentionally move the treats up, make his head look up, and then, you know, move it down, or, you know, have him look directly at the camera, etc. Those lickable treats have worked wonders, but I honestly have gotten kind of jealous sometimes with dog creators because they are able to just have their dogs just sit on command and they don't have the struggle of the cats walking away, walking away, walking away over and over and over again.
Cats are very smart. It's not that they're not smart and they can be taught tricks, but I've gone to more than a few shows where there were, you know, I saw a big one recently that we were invited to not too far from where I live in Palm Beach. And it was this big cat show. And even with cats that are trained for this type of work, they still will have a tendency to do what they want. And the people in the show just, you know, you just have to go with it. So it's definitely much harder, I think, for cats, but not because they're less, they're just as smart, if not smarter. It's just they're different.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good statement that you said. I absolutely know, especially with my Minx cat. He is so smart. I mean, he's smarter than any other cat I have ever been around or owned before. But yes. And that's a big thing, too, in regard to the cats walking away and just choosing where they want to sit and whatnot. That is a hard thing to have to recognize when being a pet influencer, a cat influencer, is that I just have to roll with it and do what they want to do, because I will never just force him, you know, to sit or stand or do something.
Right. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Ashley. She is the CEO of Pet Influencer Secrets, and we're talking about some behind-the-scenes tips and tricks. You know what? My cats are a big fan of the lickable treats, too, and that's pretty much all they demand. You know what? The other thing that I've heard about working with cats, and I've talked to a couple of very well-known cat photographers, you have to go low because cats are small and capture them. So you have to get low to the ground. This is just for still photographs. So the same if they're moving, unless they're climbing on something, which some cats are great climbers, some are not. But it's definitely a challenge. Do you have any funny behind-the-scenes stories that you could share?
Oh, yes. So to date, I have worked with over 100 brands. And so I've had my fair share personally. And then, of course, getting to hear stories from other people. But I definitely have had my fair share of my cats doing things that they should not be doing. So, for example, one of my favorite stories, which it's ridiculous. So there is a litter, and it was a certain type of litter that my cats weren't used to. And I'm sure you definitely know there are now so many different types of litter. It is crazy. Nevertheless, this litter was very similar to food. And I put it into, I have my cameras going and I was ready for my cats, one of my cats to walk in and use the litter box. And the cat, my cat Biscuit, she walks in and she just starts eating the litter. Oh, and I was like, what do I do? And she was just eating. I was like, is this healthy? It's made out of a food product. And so that was super strange. And I, to this day, I still was never able to get her to actually use the litter. So I had to be very intentional about how to film it to make it look like she had used the box. I even poured some water into it. It clumped up. It was great. Like the litter totally worked, but she just kept eating it. So that was one thing. And then another issue that I have had with my cat Chip was the automatic litter boxes. So I personally love automatic litter boxes because it saves me time, obviously. And the problem was my cat Chip, he is not such a fan. And so I've had many, many times where he would just not go in. And of course, like, as we said earlier, you can't just force them to do things. And so I'd be getting pretty stressed. I'm like, oh my goodness, we are sitting here for 2 hours. I assembled this whole thing, got it all set up, and you're not using it. And it was just is definitely not just one time that I've experienced that. But yeah, overall, there are all sorts of crazy things that I've even done for my cats. I mean, having birthday parties. I've had one of his birthday parties on like YouTube Live. So people just sitting there and watching my cat eat a birthday treat, like just ridiculous things that you don't even, you know, you wouldn't think about doing for your cat. I've gotten to do over the years, which is so fun. So yeah, those are just a few small examples.
Okay, thank you. Let's talk about collaborations with brands. What do companies look for when they're looking for, you know, brand collaborations?
Yeah, so brand collaborations, there are two different types, and I just need to explain these two different types so people just know how this works. Because I assume, and definitely talking to people in my real life, people don't really understand what brand collaborations are, how this works. So there really, in our world of cat influencing, there really are two types of brand collaborations. You have your brand sponsorships and your user-generated content. So a brand sponsorship could be, let's say, in our world of cat influencing, you have a cat food brand. And the cat food brand wants my cat to eat their food in a photo or a video. And that video, let's say it's a video, could be specifically about that food, or it could be subtly positioned within the video. So it could be either way. And then there's user-generated content. So I'm sure a lot of you who are listening have seen brands out there where a, let's say, famous influencer, because again, we're not just talking about pet influencing, but in general, a famous person could be on their social media. And a lot of times what happens is, let's say again, in the pet influencing world, the brand says, hey, I want you to make a video or photo with our product and give it to us so that we can post it. So two different approaches to brand collaborations. So when it comes to brand collaborations, the biggest thing that they really do look for is authenticity of content. So there are a lot of channels out there that will post the same things over and over and over, or they don't really show the human interaction with the pet. There was a conversation I had with the marketing manager of a brand just a few months ago, and I asked her this exact same question. And I said, listen, as the influencer, what do you look for? Because obviously I'm like, oh, I'd love more brand deals. Like, how can I make brands see my content even better as an option to work with? And she actually said this same thing where she said, we care most about seeing the relationship between the cat and the human. And so if we think back to what I mentioned earlier in this episode already, the storytelling and the emotional impact that you can portray through your content, through you and through your cat, is really what they're looking for. And so I get the question often of like, I don't own a camera. I don't own accessory lighting like soft boxes or anything like that. Like, I just want to post photos and videos of my pet, but it would be nice to make some money and work with brands. How do I make myself a good candidate for working with brands? And really, you can absolutely just use your phone. You do not need any fancy equipment. You don't need microphones for your voiceovers. You don't need cameras or even any extra lighting, although I usually recommend it. And so brands, and what I tell people is really, really what matters most is that you just study how to do storytelling in a 30 to 45 second time frame, which is hard. And that's kind of the hardest part, is just learning how to do that aspect of it. But yeah, you can seriously become a pet influencer with $0 and just your camera and your cat.
And a couple questions. So you said channels. Are you talking about YouTube?
So when I say the channels, I talk about the big three. So you have Instagram. Instagram is the main hub of where cat influencers are typically. So that's where, when people say, I want to make a channel for my cat, they usually open up Instagram. And then from there, TikTok is kind of like the secondary one where a lot of cat influencers exist. And then YouTube is like third on the tier, if we would say. But I always recommend everyone actually have all three.
Okay. We have one more topic before we wrap up, but I have one more question under collaborations and brands. What is some advice for cat parents if they're approached by a brand for the first time?
Yeah. So this is a big question, because I actually get this question often from some students, and it's scary and it's exciting. So with brand collaborations, a brand will approach these. I know we talked about the difference between a brand sponsorship and a UGC or user-generated content opportunity. But even from there, we separate it into a paid opportunity and a gifted opportunity. So let's say you or, you know, someone listening here, you're like, okay, if I'm approached, what happened next? So brands will typically approach you in two different ways. You have direct messaging, like on Instagram, and then you have on email. So no matter what, I always recommend people have an email for their cat on their bio on Instagram so that brands can reach out to you. So there are, unfortunately, a lot of like spammy channels or brands out there that just try to take advantage of new creators. And they'll say, hey, I want 6 videos and I'll just give you this one toy for free. And so I always recommend you be very, very aware that scams are possible, or at least brands that are trying to get a lot of really free or inexpensive free content for their own channels. But I always recommend, if ever money is involved, to get a contract. And this is something that not only like talking to my own students, but experiencing this myself, if you do not have a contract, then you really are not obligated to get paid. It is almost like you're verbally agreeing to get paid. And I have had it before where I made a video for a brand and then they never paid me. They ghosted me. And I've heard of this before. So if anything, that is a big piece of advice. And contracts are scary, especially if you've never done it before. The concept of like contract, does that involve lawyers? Like all you have to do if you are in the spot where a brand says, hey, I'll pay you X amount of dollars for a video or something like that, having a contract is so, so important.
I absolutely agree. And wearing my business hat right now, one, even though love it or hate it, there's a lot of AI around. You could probably pop the contract into AI and ask for red flags.
Mm-hmm.
If it sounds too good, it might be. So make sure you do your homework, so you're not doing a lot of running around and spinning. For myself, you know, I have lots and lots of listeners on Catitude. As far as followers, Instagram, I don't do a lot with that. I have 2 shows on Pet Life Radio. I can only do so much. But I have been approached by some of those spammers, you know, that try this. For anyone listening, if it sounds too good to be true, probably is. Doesn't mean it is, but probably. Do your due diligence so you are not taken and ghosted and, you know, let's say it bluntly, screwed out of what you are promised.
That is so true. It is so true, though. And I love that you mentioned AI. I love utilizing AI for idea generation. I am getting pretty bothered these days from the amount of AI being used to create like photo and some almost realistic cat content, because it is taking away from us as the true cat influencers. But I do use it a lot for like idea generation and helping with things such as that.
That's what I think it should be used for. I do not agree with creating content. I don't like that there's, you know, probably everybody's heard this by now, there's some movie star, they just generated something, somebody, Tilly something, I don't remember the exact name, but I don't think it should take away from that. But as far as assisting people and ChatGPT, Copilot, Gemini, they're not substitutes for an attorney. But if you cannot afford one and you just need some tips on is this okay or not, there's great advice. But I do not think that that should be a substitute for content. I don't like that. I don't think it should be a substitute for artistry, you know, for creating things that, you know, people get paid for.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree.
The resume help and stuff like that. But, you know, write your own papers. Come on, you got to think, you know, do all that, you know, but if you need tips, you know, what's good, go ahead. I use it sometimes for even my shows because I don't always get information that is extensive for a show. And so I can sometimes get some just great info that is good for my audience. But as far as, you know, the content and all that, no. I wish there was a way to really spot it so easily.
I know. Yeah. And on social media, you actually technically have to, if as a content creator, you have to toggle or press a button if, as you're uploading, if it is AI generated. And I know a lot of people are not pressing that button. But yeah, I use AI primarily as almost like a super version of Google.
Yes, that to me flies, but not for falsifying. Because in my mind, my opinion, if you're creating content and you're spending the hours, you're doing the time, and then you're just, boop, AI, just do this. No. Okay, let's talk about aspiring cat influencers. We talked a little bit about this in the beginning. The best way to start a social media page for your cat, and what should you anticipate? And you went over a little bit this in the beginning, but just kind of to recap, what are some, like, maybe bullet points on where do you start? It's not just about, I have a cute cat, I'm going to take some pictures, poof. And also, what about people? So I'm camera shy. I'm photogenic, kind of, but to be in front of a screen is not my thing. Does it help for the pet parent to be in the screen as well? I mean, there's authenticity there.
Yeah, lots of good questions in that. So I will answer the last question that you answered first, and that had to do with, is it best to have your face on camera? Now, I'm going to explain a little bit about the, again, a difference between like dog influencing and cat influencing here, and this will all tie in together. So dogs have their specific breeds. Yes, I know us cat parents, our cats do have specific breeds, but it is a different world when it comes to dog owners. And a lot of times you can spot certain dog influencers better than cat influencers because a lot of cats tend to look the same, to be honest, like they just do. And so because of that, one thing I talk a lot about to new influencers is you need to very quickly find a way that your cat can be memorable and recognizable because of that literal fact that unless you have a very unique looking cat, which again, most of us don't, but unless you have that, you need to pinpoint something. And so again, then people say, well, like what do you mean? What's unique about my cat other than, you know, I love them and they're sweet and they're sassy or ornery. So when you're starting out a channel, I mentioned earlier the importance of doing a lot of research. And really that has to do more of the technical side of things, research of how to edit videos with a basic phone app and, you know, how to change the settings on your camera and just basic technical things. Like that's really important to spend research on. But as you're wanting to start up your channel, it is important to think about, as I mentioned earlier, the mission, the purpose of your channel, and the story that you want to tell about your cat. So if you're going to be on camera, that actually, I believe, is one of the easiest ways for you to be memorable because our brains recognize faces, you know, one person from the other very, very easily. And if you're going to be starting out every one of your videos with you on camera, well, you're going to be the audience, the people watching it is going to recognize your video faster compared to if it's just your cat on, you know, obviously on every one of your videos. It just may take longer time for that video or your content to be more recognizable. But when you have that, you have your story, you have the purpose of your channel, I say from there, and let's say you've researched a little bit, really the next step, and this sounds basic, I know, but the next step really is to just experiment with posting. And I say this, I say it's basic. I say, oh, I know a lot of people say, okay, just post. But I have talked to many people over the years who have gone months of researching and trying to learn and trying to put together like a brand book and do all these things thinking that that's what's going to, you know, help them. But really what matters is that you post and you start learning from your posts, learning what type of audience that Instagram's going to start pointing your cat towards and being able to utilize the analytics from your content you post rather than just sitting and waiting and hoping one day that you'll do it.
Great information. Okay, real quick, do you have any tools or apps to make posting easier? We don't have a lot of time, so maybe one or two that you could share quickly. Like I used to use Hootsuite, but that's, I think, old and gone.
A little bit. So,
see, that's why I'm not a poster and I do podcast. So out of touch. What are some good tools to use now?
Yeah. What do the people use these days? So for editing, the two biggest ones are CapCut and InShot. I personally use InShot. I never recommend, ever, ever recommend that you actually edit your content within the app itself. So if you open up TikTok, it has its own area where you can film and edit and post. However, the biggest problem is once it's on that platform, you cannot get that video and edit it again. Especially with brand content, you need to always edit it outside of the apps. So that's that. Instagram did just come out with their own app called Edits. I haven't really used it. I just stick to InShot. I have over 1,000 video drafts in there, so from over the years. And then you asked about a scheduling app. So a scheduling app, for those of you who are unfamiliar, let's say that you make a few videos and photos and you want to schedule them onto the social platforms. Well, you have two options here. You can either open up Instagram, upload your video and post it, or schedule it. Same thing with YouTube, same thing with Facebook, TikTok, or you can use a scheduling app. I use one called Metricool, but it's honestly, it's very similar to Hootsuite, very similar to Buffer. All those are just different examples to where you can see on one calendar all of the content that you make. Because I usually recommend minimum of 3 pieces of content a week to keep the algorithm happy. And so with that, you can schedule out way ahead all this content, making it really, really nice to see all in one place. Otherwise, there's no way to really see your content calendar in the future on those individual apps.
Great information. Where can our listeners find out more about what you do and about Pet Influencer Secrets?
Yeah, so my main channel that started everything is called Chip the Manx. And then from there, again, it evolved into Pet Influencer Secrets. I primarily am on YouTube, where I share a ton of free information and advice all about this topic, about how to make your dog or your cat or any pet that you have famous and how to make money from it, because that's why, honestly, a lot of people do it. And then from there, I have a lot of resources on petfluencersecrets.com that anyone can just look up, and I have blog articles, videos, all sorts of resources. Because honestly, I started Pet Influencer Secrets for the pure purpose of just showing people that an everyday person with no experience, no background can make their cat or dog famous. And it's actually not that hard. You just have to know how the system and processes work.
Ashley, I want to thank you so much for coming on Catitude and sharing this wealth of knowledge with us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you for the opportunity.
I hope you all enjoyed this show. I found it fascinating. I've always wondered what actually goes on in the world of pet influencers, because I'm not one. I'm a podcast host. Please be sure to check out our site. Ashley's site is petinfluencersecrets.com. There's all kinds of great information on how to become a cat influencer. So thank you so much, Ashley, for coming on Catitude. Thank you to my listening audience for your loyalty, for listening to Catitude. I appreciate it so much. Thank you to my cat crew, which are famous through the airwaves of the podcast. Thank you, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. And of course, thank you to my amazing producer, Mark. I appreciate you so much. Thank you, Mark Winter, for all you do to make our shows sound amazing. And hey, remember, lose the attitude. Have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.